We go now to the Stanley Fitzy Gates hotline and welcome in someone who knew Coach Majors very well, both covering him as a member of the media and then having him alongside for segments on his own radio show, and that's our own Jimmy Himes. Jimmy, good morning. A sad morning as we've lost Coach Majors.
It really is a sad morning. It's a sad morning for the Tennessee family, the Majors family, the Vol Nation, for the many players that he coached, for the many coaches that coached for him. Brian, it's sad for me, too. I had developed a really good relationship with him. We had him on the air for a number of years as a regular guest during football season. He was a great storyteller. We ended up playing golf a couple of times through the way, and this was kind of odd, but I kept in touch with him. So I happened to call him May the 21st, and that was his birthday. I didn't know it was his birthday, but he told me it was his birthday. We had a good visit, talked about it, and the last thing he told me was, he said, look, we need to do lunch. As soon as this virus clears up, we're going to go have lunch. I said, you got it. He said, don't you forget to call me. I said, I won't. But that was the last conversation we had, and just so sad that he's passed away. He had had a stroke maybe 6 months ago or so. It was sometime last year, mm-hmm. and I think he struggled from that a little bit after that, but really enjoyed covering him. There aren't many coaches, and Eric, I've heard y'all talk about stories about him, and he's a really funny guy, but there aren't many coaches in my career, and I've been doing this a long time, that I enjoyed covering more than Coach Majors.
No, I mean, Coach Majors was, and everyone references the storytelling and all that. And like, we can all remember plays from our playing career. And I have not coached, nor will I coach, so I don't know if I would be this way. But I've been around a lot of coaches, and not all of them were nearly as good as Johnny Majors. Johnny Majors could remember every play from when he played. He could remember plays and different things. I mean, much like yourself for what you've covered, Jimmy. But John Majors could remember, you could say, hey, what second quarter 1984 against Alabama game was here, and you guys went for two instead of kicking an extra point in the second quarter. And he'd go, well, it's because, and he'd have a whole story about it.
Yeah, yeah, he sure would. He had a great memory about that, a great memory about the games in which he played in the 50s, the games in which he coached.
Yeah.
And, he could tell you in detail. And it was great about remembering the scores as well, the final scores of games. He had a terrific memory in that regard, which I think, Eric, that served him well as a coach because he remembered details. And as a coach, he was a stickler for details. He wanted everything to be just right, whether it was the step of a defensive back or the release of a quarterback's pass. He was really into all that. And I think that's what made him a heck of a football coach.
Jimmy, his tenure at Tennessee included the 1986 Sugar Bowl and that team that is so well remembered, but also back-to-back SEC champions in 1989 and 1990. What do you remember about some of those teams? It took him a long time to build Tennessee back to the level of success to which he was accustomed, but once he did, it seemed like they stuck right there.
Yeah, and I think it was he was there about. I think it was his ninth year back at Tennessee before Tennessee won the SEC championship. My first season of covering Tennessee was 1985, so I was treated to a great season. That was a team that wasn't expected to be that good. It was good on offense because they had Tony Robinson and Tim McGee, but defensively they had a bunch of no-name players. And that team lost only one game all year. They lost to Florida at Florida, and that was a great Florida team. But they won every other game except for a couple of ties along the way. And that was one of the most enjoyable seasons I've ever had covering Tennessee because that was an overachieving group of players. And when they went to Miami, I remember Jimmy Johnson, Miami's coach, and this is paraphrasing, but he basically said, you know, it's not a matter of whether we're going to beat Tennessee, it's by how much. And when we do, we're going to win the national championship because Penn State or somebody had lost. Well, that didn't sit well with Tennessee. And if the Superdome, it must have been 65,000 Tennessee fans there. It was incredible, the orange that was there, and there were very few Miami fans. And then Tennessee dominated that game 35-7. Well, after that season, they took a little bit of a dip. They went 7-5, and then they started the 8-8 season 0-6. But then they bounced back. They won the last five that year. They bounced back in 89 and 90, and they did it with some great young players like Chuck Webb and Carl Pickens. They did it with some great junior college players like Chuck Smith and Chris Mims and Dale Carter. And he had a really good run there his last few years at Tennessee. But it did take him a while to rebuild it. Once he got it there with the blip in 1988, they were pretty darn good.
Jimmy, Joel Silverberg related this story on Twitter a little earlier, and I had forgotten, but this is one of my favorites. You guys had John Bexford on the show a few years ago, and he revealed that the go-ahead extra point attempt at Notre Dame, the laces were in. And you and John then asked Coach Majors about that later that week, and his reaction was almost like he was ready to go coach right then and there.
Yeah, he was, and that was funny. But Bexford telling that story, and then John Majors recounting it. But there were a lot of stories like that. The story that I remember about that also, the miracle of South Bend. So Tennessee, gosh, they're down 31-7 late in the first half, if memory serves, and then Tennessee ended up scoring right before the half, and it's 31-14. Well, one or two of Major's brothers that lived in Chattanooga were at the game, and they had flown to the game with some friends, and the friend said, "We're out of here. We're leaving." And the brother said, "I'm not leaving." They said, "Well, then you can get your own way home." So they left at halftime. They flew home. As soon as they landed in Chattanooga, Jeremy Lincoln blocked the field goal with his butt. Tennessee won it, and Major's brother told those guys, "I'll never go to another football game with you scoundrels." But his brothers missed the game, the second half comeback, because the guys he was with on the flight said, "No, we're out of here."
That was one of the legendary moments of the coaching career. Jimmy, I know his tenure at Tennessee didn't end the way it wanted, and that's part of the story, and not something you want to focus on. But you know, the way that Tennessee was able to re-embrace him in the mid-2000s, retire his jersey number before the Florida game in 2012, and let him know that, you know, he is a founding member of this Tennessee football family, as is his entire family. The Majors family in Tennessee are synonymous. What was it like for him to be able to be welcomed back into the fold and be honored before games and during games later on in his life?
Oh, it meant a lot to him. It meant a lot. He did not want to be ostracized, and so when Tennessee welcomed him back, he was welcomed at practice by the various coaches at Tennessee. He was welcomed in the press box. Heck, he was even allowed to park wherever he wanted to. He was pretty famous for just parking somewhere on the street. And one time he got a ticket for parking on Johnny Majors Boulevard. And Carmen Tigana, when I said, "You can't give him a ticket for parking on his boulevard," so they took care of the ticket for him. But he enjoyed being back. He enjoyed going to the football offices. He enjoyed the coaches and being around the program. And that needed to happen. It really needed to happen. And I'm glad that at least they got that fixed so that he would be welcomed back to Tennessee with open arms as far as going to practice and football games.
Jimmy,
talking about Jimmy Himes right now.
Ahead,
yeah, Jimmy, one of the things that I think was cool about Johnny Majors, and you can just tell this from all the social media stuff. I'm reading social media interaction about him right now, and you rarely ever hear anybody say anything bad about Johnny Majors. Everyone has their experiences, but when it comes to speaking publicly, like everybody likes him, and I think he was one of the you could call it old school if you wanted to. The best coaches we have now still do this, but he was so upfront and blunt with his players.
Yeah.
They knew where they stood with him, and even if they didn't like what they were hearing, they could at least respect it. And I think that's why that he was able to turn Tennessee into such a powerhouse, you know, there towards the end of his tenure.
Yeah, I think so. I thought he did a really good job in evaluation. I thought he was a very good teacher, as we saw in the release from the family, that they felt like one of the reasons that so many of his assistant coaches went on to be head coaches was because he did such a great job of teaching them. And Major said he was taught very well by his dad, who was a longtime and very successful coach as well. So I think that filtered down. But One other thing Majors did that I really appreciated, when he came back to Knoxville after he had been at Pittsburgh, he started these monthly luncheons. He had a variety of guest speakers. They might be on sports. It might be on the Civil War. It might be on something else about history. It might be on the symphony, whatever it was. But he organized these things, which I thought was really neat for him to do. And he also was he could laugh at himself, and that was another endearing quality I thought that he had, because there were some people who would kind of poke fun at him at these meetings and stuff, and he'd laugh along with it. But he wanted to be involved in the community. He wanted to put together those type things. And he had a really loyal group of friends that appreciated him. And I appreciated him, too. From my perspective in the media of covering him, there might have been a time I'd go to him and say, "Hey, Coach, I've heard this. You know, I'm just checking on it." He said, "I don't know. I'll get back with you, but I don't know the answer right now." And he'd write it in a notebook. He always carried a notebook. It might be notes about practice. It might be notes about to remind him or whatever. He'd get back with you and say, "Okay, here's what I got." And then he would tell you what was going on. He always had a good relationship, I thought, with the media, because he knew and he understood the role of the media.
Jimmy, I know it's going to be a day of remembrances as you and John get together for Sports Talk this afternoon. I know there'll be a lot of memories. Do you have any of that lined up that you can share with us at this point?
I don't yet. I will get it lined up. I've got some guests in mind that I'm going to try to get on to talk about him. I've got a handful of folks, I don't have it lined up yet. We will share that as soon as we get it, but I've not got confirmation at this point. But hopefully we will have a lot of guests to talk about him and to relive some of the great moments with John Majors.
I know it'll be a great day to listen to the sports show of record for Tennessee fans. That's Sports Talk here on the Sports Animal 991, thesportsanimal.com worldwide. Coming up at 3. Jimmy, thanks so much for your time this morning. We really appreciate it on this tough day for the Tennessee family.
Well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it. And certainly he is going to be missed by a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Us included. Jimmy Himes, thank you so much.
Thank you.